Good morning. I'm going to apologize here in advance because my emotions might get the best of me. So this is going to be pretty hard for me. So last Sunday, Stacy and I were talking about the upcoming week and how things were going to be going, kids, you know, going to school and projects and things like that are going on. And so I said, I think next Sunday I need to make a testimony. It's been weighing heavy on my heart. And she says, I think that's a good idea. I've been thinking about you doing that also. And so I thought, you know, that's good. We'll move on. And so during the week, I start hearing her talking to other people. You know, yeah, Sunday, 10:30. Yesterday, I had a couple of people say, we see on Stacy's Facebook, I don't have Facebook, that you're going to be testifying at church. And so I got home and I said, Stace, I said, you're making this a lot bigger deal than what it needs to be. And she said, no, this is a big deal. She said, a lot of people have been praying for you. And she said, there's two kinds of people. And I said, oh, great, here it comes. And she said, there's people like you who don't have much to say, but when you say something, people want to hear it. And then there's people like me who just talk all the time, and people start tuning us out, and then they don't pay attention to what we're saying. So here it goes. December 4th is a date I'm going to remember like an anniversary or birthday. And I was sitting right over there. It was communion. And so we usually say a little prayer before communion. And, you know, I go through, I think Kevin had a sermon about this a couple years ago where he talked about praying. And it's, you know, praise and, I'm sorry, praise, pardon, and petition, the three P's. And so, you know, we go through, and I praise God for all the blessings that he's given us this past week. And then we talk about pardoning, forgiveness of our sins. And then we come to the petition part where we, you know, ask for certain things in the upcoming week. And there's another P in there that I've been told I shouldn't ask God for because he will teach us, and that's patience. And that's certainly something that I'm learning, and I'm no master at it after all this, but I'm continuing to learn, and he's certainly helping me to teach patience. And so this was on Sunday, December 4th, and the previous 3 days I've been in Kansas City for meetings, and I usually don't like to work on Sundays, but you know, it's Sunday, we got to get bulls turned out to the cows, and because the rest of the week was already, you know, busy with work. And so, and then when it's something you enjoy, it's not work, right? And so we get done with church, we go to eat, and then I said, all right, boys, we're going to go turn out bulls with the cows. We go over to the farm. We hook up the trailer and go out there to the corrals, and we get the bulls we're going to take out to the cows and bulls we're going to take out to the heifers. And we load up the first trailer load, and we take them out. And the boys, they wanted to run down to the creek and the pond and, you know, do normal boy stuff. And I said, okay, when I'm headed back, I'll call you, and we'll meet up there at the corrals. And so I turned out the first group of bulls, and I was heading back, and I called the boys and said, I'm heading back. They said, okay, we'll meet you back up there at the corrals. And so I got back up to the corrals and got the trailer door opened up. And the middle cut gate, there was a weld on there that was broke. So you have to kind of pick up that gate and close it. And so they weren't quite back yet. And me learning about patience, I was ready to get things moving. It was starting to get a little bit later in the afternoon. And so I went and got this newer bull that we got. He's a nice, calm bull. And so I was still waiting on them, and I thought, I'll just go ahead and get him up in the trailer. And so we get him up. I get him up into the trailer, and he just wasn't wanting to. He'd go up to the front, and then he'd come back, and then he'd go back up in there. And so I thought, all right. So I closed the back tailgate, and then I thought, and then he ran up front. And so I hurry up and got in there and then closed the gate behind me because I didn't want to get right back out again, right? And so I went to grab that middle gate, and I went to shut it, and he got mad. And he, but just before I got that thing closed, he busted through, and lo and behold, there's no way to get out. So he comes around, and I went to try to climb up on the gate to get away from him, and he was mad, and he just smashed my ankle. And I had all my weight on that ankle, and I just fell back. And those few seconds were, people talk about your life flashing before your eyes, and I can truly tell you my life was flashing behind my eyes. I've never been so scared in my life where I didn't know how I was going to get out of this. I just thought this might be the end. And so I remember falling back. I hollered for the boys, and they heard me yelling, and they were on the other side of the corral. And they thought maybe I was on the outside of the trailer still, because that's what you're supposed to do. And so that's what they've been told. And so I remember when he hit my leg, I just remember falling back, and I just thought, my God, and I remember falling down, and I saw him coming towards me, and I just crawled up into a ball, and this was in the middle part of the trailer, and I must have blacked out because I don't remember anything after that. And the next thing I remember are my boys sitting me up, and that was towards the back of the trailer. And so somehow this bull had thrashed me to the back of the trailer. And I don't remember anything. I didn't have this out-of-body experience where I was floating above the trailer and seeing what was happening. I remember the boys sitting me up, and they later told me, what was happening when they got up there. And you know, it didn't take but seconds from when this all occurred. And I truly believe at that point in time, those boys became men. They just took a hold of the situation. They didn't get scared. They just knew what to do, and they got that bull out of there, and then they just took care of me. And they set me up, and I just kind of did a body check. You know, I'm still alive. I'm still here. I could tell this leg, something was broke. It just didn't feel right. And I tried to stand up, and it just kind of collapsed. And I was just out of it, kind of in and out of it. And I said, all right, boys, we better just go to the hospital. And they said, okay, we'll get you in the truck. I said, all right, just get underneath me, and you can just help me up. And Luke goes, no, I'm just going to carry you. And I forget how strong Luke is now. And 250 pounds of me, he just lifted me up like it was nothing and carried me into the truck. Court, who's 15, just turned 15, he can do anything. And I have a stick shift truck. He jumped in there and he just took off. And I was in it enough that I called up Stace. And I said, hey, I've been hurt. And she says, okay. And preceding this, her father, Phil, had been attacked by a bull in a trailer just less than 3 weeks prior to this. And he had just gotten out of the hospital 4 days prior to this. And she didn't know that quite yet. but that I had been trampled by a bull in the trailer. Yeah. And the joke, you know, was that we can't blame this on genetics, that both of us were trapped in a trailer, and we wanted to blame it on Stacy because that was the only common denominator in this whole thing. But, you know, she says, no, the two men I care the most about are just stupid. So, so needless to say, I had to get out that to her that, yeah, I had been trapped in a trailer with a bull. And so she says, okay, I'll meet you halfway. And so we were over in El Dorado, and so the boys, the men, drove me to Sulphur Springs Church there on Highway 54. Stacy's already there meeting us. Again, Luke just scooped me up and put me over into the car. And I don't know how fast we were going, but it just didn't seem like we got any time down there to Joplin. And so we were on our way down to Joplin, and we were just, I was lucid enough, we were having conversations, and we had just got onto the interstate, and there was a client, it was Sunday afternoon, he called me up, and he's a friend. And he says, I can't remember now what he was asking me some kind of a cow question, and I don't remember now what it was about. And we're talking about this, and then he says, oh, what are you doing? I said, well, I got attacked by a bull, and I'm headed to the hospital. And he says, oh, my gosh. He says, can I pray with you? And so, you know, God just sends certain people in our lives and events happening that it just, you can't explain it. And we just prayed right there. And I just felt a peace, you know, come over me. And so we get to the hospital, we pull up to Freeman. Stacy pulls right up to the ambulance entrance. She runs in and she tells the people, the nurses, what's going on. And so they tell her, you know, grab this wheelchair. And so she wheels a wheelchair out to me. And I sit in it, and it's got these stirrups in there for you to put your feet in, but I can't quite bend my leg to get in there, so I got to keep my foot out. And so she rolls me in there, and we get up to the front desk there, and there's probably a dozen people who are also waiting in the emergency room. And I tell you, I couldn't see myself, but I must have been a sight, because everybody else, I think, that was waiting in that emergency room realized that I was probably more of an emergency than what they were at that particular time. I had a big gash on the back of my head. I had blood all over me. I had cow poop and gravel and just everything you're not supposed to have on you was on me at that particular time. And so we get up to the front reception desk, and the nurses look at me, and they just said, you need to come right on back. And we've got this little wall that juts out here, and Stacy, pulls out, and there's going to be some debate about how much damage was done to me by the bull and how much was done by Stacy. She pulls out this wheelchair and whips it around, and my foot hits the wall. And you hear about the shot that was heard around the world. Everybody in that waiting room just went, ugh. And Stacy starts laughing. Because what else can you do at that point in time? So they get me back into the, and, you know, they take my vitals. I just within a minute, there must have been 20 people on me. And they get me back on the table. They take off my clothes, and they see there's just bruises all up and down my body, and I've got this big gash on the back of my head. And they wheel me back to CT, and they scan my body because they're worried about internal injuries and brain damage and things like that. And glory be to God, there was nothing else there. It was just all, you know, superficial and my ankle. And so, you know, the kids, you know, they're all worried, and there can only be one person in the emergency room at a time. And so we you know, we get through this and make a long story short, and I'm making this a lot longer. This is probably Stacy's version here that we're getting to now. But I'm back home. I'm healing up, and you know, I on my phone I get these daily reminders, devotions, Bible verses, and there's lots of verses that, you know, start appealing to my heart, and through Psalms and things like that. And there's one Bible verse in particular that just really hit me really hard, and it was out of Romans 5:2-5. And it says, "And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us." And so I pulled out my Bible here and looked down in the footnotes here, and there's one thing that popped up here. And it says here, for first century Christians, suffering was the rule rather than the exception. Paul tells us that the future will become, but until then, we must overcome. This means we will experience difficulties that help us grow. We rejoice in suffering, not because we like pain or deny its tragedy, but because we know God is using life's difficulties and Satan's attacks to build our character. The problem that we run into, we develop our perseverance, which in turn will strengthen our character, deepen our trust in God, and give us greater confidence about the future. You probably find your patience tested, and I read that word patience, tested in some way every day. Thank God for those opportunities to grow and deal with them in his strength. And I read that, and I was just like, we should be thanking God for these difficulties in our lives, because this is how we grow. And it just hit me like a ton of bricks. So first of all, I'd like to thank our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for, you know, bringing me through this and for letting me live another day. I think he's not quite ready to bring me home yet, and so he must have bigger things for me to do. You know, I've certainly tried to help learn patience, but there have been so many blessings that have also occurred through this that I can't even imagine. I just can't believe that everything that has come out of this has been for the greater good. Second thing is I'd certainly like to thank the church body and the members on our community. Pastor Kevin. It's just been truly humbling that my wife, who's been through several surgeries, 5 C-sections, appendectomies, you know, all these different surgeries, taking care of her and taking care of our kids, and with my profession taking care of animals, that all of a sudden I'm being the one taken care of, and it's just humbling and to have to be in that position. Your prayers have definitely, if you don't believe in prayer, I definitely believe in prayer. It's been something, it's been felt by me and my family for sure. There are so many times during my healing that I could have been feeling despair and heartbreak and woe is me, and I just did not feel that. I just felt uplifted every day, and I just I just want to thank you for that. I know there's people that brought us food and cards, and there's people that did things for us that we probably didn't even know about. And again, I just want to thank each and every one of you for that. I hope nobody has to go through what I've had to go through. And I know there's several people, you know, in the congregation and throughout this world that have been through worse things that I have been through, you know, whether it be losing a loved one, cancer, sickness, chronic pain, alcohol, drugs, things that just bring us to our knees. And I just want you to know that, like I said, I hope nobody has to go through it. Certainly with a bull. You know, I go back to when I was sitting there on December 4th and praying for patience. And God is one of those. Our Father in heaven is, I believe, somebody that can just, I have this childish vision where, you know, he can just take his magic wand and just touch me and grant me patience or whatever it is we're praying for. But I'm hard-headed and stubborn enough that I have to be taught. And this is certainly one of those things where, you know, I was being taught something. And it's, I think it's the same way where it's like, as a father for my children, I could give them lots of different things. I could give them the newest, greatest, best thing out there. But they're not learning anything from that. You know, they don't understand how to take care of things or what it takes to get that thing for them, how to take care of it. And so I if they work for it, they understand, you know, what it takes to get to that thing, the hard work, the perseverance that it takes to get that. And so I think the same thing is with our Father. Our children would become spoiled if we just gave them anything and everything they needed. And it's the same thing with us, with these lessons that we learn. If he just took his magic wand and just, you know, touched our head or her shoulder and just granted us, we would lose touch and just realize how easy things may be. But the fact that he teaches us in certain ways to get through to us is truly brings us closer to God and to our Father. So again, thank you. And I know this probably took a lot longer than, but I just want to thank each and every one of you.